Shas Illuminated presents the following shiur by Rabbi Levi Langer. Maseches Bava Metzia has been dedicated by Rabbi and Mrs. Chaim Shlomo Metz. Le'ilei Nishmas Shmar Yehu Ben Chaim.
Maseches Bava Metzia, Daf Pei Gimel. At the beginning of the Daf, the Gemara brings down the din of Isi Ben Yehuda. The Isi Ben Yehuda understands that it says in the Pasuk by Shemrim, Umeis Oynishbar Oynishbo Ein Roya, and then it says, Tuvah Shvuas Hashem Tia Ben Shenehem. So if something happens, and happenstance, an Umglik happens to the Pekadoin, the Shemrim is watching. In the case of the Pasuk, it's an Oydeis, Meis, Oynishbar, etc., and there's Ein Roya, that means that there's no witnesses to it. So then we call upon the Shemrim to support his claim with a Shvuah. So the Gemara says that Isi ben Yehuda was medayek from the pasuk that that's only because it was ein roya. But if there would have been a yesh roya, let's say you would know that there were witnesses who saw it, or the Rashi explains in the sugya over here, let's say it's a place where it's motzoi to have witnesses, it's a public place, it's motzoi to have edim, then it doesn't suffice for the shomer to support his claim with the shvua, and instead he's mechuyev to bring dafke edim, and only edim will help his claim. And that's the din of Isi ben Yehuda. There are in the achronim two ways to understand the din of Isi, and there's nafke min that are discussed these two ways. The two ways are set up by Rabbi Aaron Kotler in the Mishnah of Baron. Others also talk about these. Rabbi Aaron sets up the Chakira, the two ways to understand Isi, in the following way. One way to understand Isi, Zokta Baron, is to say that it's a specific within it, in the Hilchoy Shomer. Specific to Shomer. Let's say it's like this. A Shomer takes a Pekodain, he's going to return the Pekodain. Now sometimes something happens to the Pekodain and then you claim that you can't return it. Okay, you can't return it, but you're going to return something. So, if you can't return the Chayf itself, you'll have to come through, you'll have to provide a birur that dear potter, that something happened to it, that it was nenas or whatever the case may be, and that's the way that you patter yourself is dafka with the birur. That's the etzem din of a shomer is to either return the chayfet to return mamash a birur, so therefore a clarification, a proof to your side that you're potter. So therefore, Zokta Baron, it could be that b'makoyim where the best birur available is a shvur because there is nothing else, they provide the birur of a shvur. Mashenkin, if it's a place that is yesh roya the edim or motzui, so then the only way that you can patter yourself is at the birur gomur of edim. That's one way to understand isi. According to that way, it's local, a local din in hilchas shomer, not general to shvur, but local din in and telling you that that is the etzem way that the din of shemir was gegeben, was that you have to provide the birur and to only the patter yourself and mokam et shaykh the birur of edim. You need the birur of edim. The other way to understand the din of isi, Zokta Baron, is to say that b'mokam with shaykh edim and there's public place and there's edim around you should have been able to find edim if you're claim would be true and it was nenas in this public place, so the inability to find the edim is itself a raila hepuch, it's a support for the idea that you're lying and in fact it wasn't nenas in this mokum, because if it would be true, then you would have had the edim. According to this tzad, it could perhaps be a kloliastika thing which would go outside of the specific parasha of Shemim where we have the mokra of the din. It's a general notion, if it's a mokum of yeish royim, a place where edim would be expected to be able to be here to support you, and you can't find them, that itself is a raya kenegan you, and therefore you lose. Those are the two tzadim, the way Rabbi Aaron sets them up in the Mishnah of Baron. And Rabbi Aaron points out the following. He says in the Gemara, in Baba Basra, on Daf Mem Aleph, there is a sugya about someone, it's a sugya of Chazok over there in Chesabatim, a person's on a field or on a house 3 years, and that supports his claim that he bought it. So there's a seer over there in the Gemara about somebody who was living in an attic multiple years, and the Morikama, the original owner, showed up, and he said, what are you doing here? And he said, well, I'm here several years on my own. Truth I didn't buy it directly from you. I bought it from someone who said that he bought it from you. So this is a lekech situation. Someone that says he bought it from someone else, he can't prove that the lekech had bought it from you. But I know I've been here several years and there was no mechor. I bought it from someone who says he bought it from you. So the Gemara Paskins over there, that if you could bring Adam, that even for one day this supposed lekech, the supposed middle purchaser, was there, then you're going to win the case. Because from that point on, Bezin is Tanina Lekuchos, which is a big klal of the Baba Basra, that means that even though as a lekech, I don't really know that the middleman who said that he purchased it from you, that he actually did. So I'm really no more than a shambo, because I can't really claim with a certainty that I know he bought it from you. Nonetheless, your bezdin will be tanina lekech, which is a rule that we are there for the lekuchos and will enter claims for the lekuchos, and therefore, as long as you can prove that the fellow was there for one day, bezdin will be tanina, that he in fact purchased it from the Morikama, the original owner. So the Rishonim over there all ask, what's this idea of bringing a proof that the middleman, supposed middle purchaser, was there for a day? What do you have to prove that for? Even if you can't prove he was there for a day. The rule is, why doesn't Bezdin be there for you and enter the claim for you that the fellow who sold it to you had in fact purchased it from the owner? So on this, there's multiple shitos in the Rishonim on this. The opinion of the Balamur, which Rav Aaron brings down, and some point out that the Balamur is elaborated on further by the Ritva in the Sugya there in Baba Basra, who quotes and elaborates on it, that the Balamur and the Ritva bring him down, that they say that the Hezbollah of the Gemara is that if you'll be unable to find Adam, that the seller to you was there for even one single day, that's a raya against you, and therefore it knocks you down. Because if it's true that this fellow really did purchase the field, the house, and he was a purchaser, and then he sold it to you, there ought to be some sort of Edom who saw him there upon him once. They saw him there for a day. If he can't find Edom who saw him there even for a day, it's a raya against you. That's how the Baal HaMor learns. And the Ritva over there is Moisef when he brings the Baal HaMor Shita, that's Dumya L'may Darmina B'Matzia V'Yahu Gemara, that the Ritva actually, when he brings in the Shita, the Baal HaMor tells it too. That if there's Yesh Roya, that if it's in a place where there's a public place, there should be witnesses around, then Yovi Raya V'Yipote. So the Ritva Mamash tells to Isi Ben Yehuda to a case, to a scenario, we're not even talking about a shemir over there, but the proof that he's bringing is to a concept that if it's a situation in which, if really your claim would be true, there ought to have been some sort of proof, some sort of witnesses who saw something, and you can't bring them, that itself is a raya against you. So Rav Aaron says that it's apparent that the Baal HaMor, and presumably the Ritva B'Shmoy, that they were going with the Mahalach and Isi, that it's not specific to Hashemim, but rather it's a general idea. If they should have been able to bring Roiyim, they should be able to be Eidim, and you can't find them, then that's a raya against you. However, Rav Aaron Tainus at Kamar Rishonim over there, it learned the sugya completely differently, over there in Baba Basra, in a way that has no shaykhas to Isi. So he wants to say that the reason, Ulai, that they don't bring down any tzushal to Isi, and they don't make this argument, is because they're learning the other Mahalach and Isi. And they're learning that Isi is a specific din of Hashemim, that Hashemim is a specific din to return the chayfetz, or to return a bir god oil, a real proof, a support, that in fact it was really nenas, as you claim, and therefore a specific din of Hashemim, and wouldn't be able to be tzugestelt and drawn a parallel to outside the situation of Shemim. There is a sefer that was published not too long ago. It's called Chedushei HaGrach B'Sugyas HaShas on Baba Kama. The sefer is from notes that are from the early shiurim in the early years that Reb Chaim Brisker delivered in the early his younger years in Volozhin. And over there, the shiurim of Baba Kama. So it says over there that Reb Chaim made the following point about Isi ben Yehuda. He says that we find in the Torah, in Chodesh HaMishpat, in Kuf Pei Zayin, that Torah brings down a machloikas rishonim, mamash machloikas rishonim, often a Torah, that they argue about whether the din of Isi ben Yehuda applies to all shavuos. In other words, any case of Chayv HaShua, so in a case where it's public and I would expect it to find witnesses, and I can't, then automatically I can never win with Hashua. I have to dafka bring Edom, no matter what the scenario, even outside of the din of Shemim, and that is the Shitas HaRambam. However, the Torah over there brings in the Shitas HaRamah, that the Ramah disagreed, and the Ramah held this is specific to the parasha of Shemim. Only by Shemim does Isi ben Yehuda's din kick in. If there's an ability to find Edom because the public place, then you're not off the hook without Edom, and the Shua will be insufficient. So Reb Chaim explains the Shitas HaRamah somewhat along the lines, similar to to that which was said by Rav Aaron Kotler, a bissel andish, a little bit different. Rav Chaim works, and this is actually a fairly well-known chakira in the Chashemim. Rav Chaim Tainus that the Ramah understood that the gedder of every shemir is that you have to dafka return the item. If you don't return the item, you have to dafka pay. You have to dafka pay. There's a din of mumnes. Now, then the Torah was mechadesh that if the shemir takes a shura to support his claim that it was an oynes, then you're off the hook from paying. In other words, the etzem din, the default halacha that's chal, if you can't return the chayfet, there's to pay for it. Now, then if you'll bring a shura to support your claim that it was nenas, or not a pshia, whatever the shemir is, so then you'll be off the hook. There's a din chodosh, so to speak, to pat to you from the etzem din, which is that of paying. And male of them, Zakr Chayim, that the Ramah learned based on that idea that Isu was mechadesh, that since that's the way that Shadin of Shemim was set up, that if you can't return the chayfetz, you have to return. You took the chayfetz, you have to return the chayfetz. You don't return the chayfetz, you return money. There's a special kiddush that if you can take a shvua, you're off the hook from returning the money. But that special din was mechadesh only in a case where that's the only beer that's available, that's possible to bring. Mashayin, can if it's possible to bring a better beer like Edom, then you can mechuyev to bring the best possible beer because your etzem din by Shemim is what is that you have to pay. Now, a certain birurim that would be sufficient to substitute for the din of paying a koponim if there's an availability, according to Isi's Rosha, to bring a better beer than just a shvut, to bring the beer of Eden, you have dafka to bring that, because the default halacha l'shem is dafka to pay. There's Reb Chaim, that's as opposed to other cases of shvut, where the din is to be nishma, you have to make a shvut. The din is not to pay, but the shvut will get you off the hook. The other din is shvut, the din is to be shnishma, the smear, and therefore there's no reason to think that just because it's a public place and it's available to have Eden, that therefore you don't have your etzim din. The etzim din, but all the shvut, but all the shvut are to be nishma. So Reb Chaim, as you could see, learned up in the Das HaRamah, the Torah B'Shem HaRamah, that Isi is in a Shemim, and Reb Chaim sets it up with his specific sprach, the specific understanding that Isi understood, that the halach, the Ramah understood in Isi, that the etzim halach of Hashem came return the chayfet to return money, dafka money, and the shvu will get you off the hook, but sometimes it won't be sufficient, if mokum royim, where there's edom available, opposed to other shvus, where the etzim then is just to make a shvu. Now this sefer, the Chedushei HaGrach on the Sugyas HaShas, was published not that long ago. It's a fairly recently published sefer. I saw a curious thing. There's a sefer, a Heintige sefer from a Heintige Mechaber, Talmud Chacham, called the Sefer Yevoruch Yisroel, which apparently was put out before this sefer Chedushei HaGrach was published. And he really shtells on this Ramah, that the Ramah said it's a specific din in the Choshoimir, and Isi only applies to Shemir. And the sefer Yevoruch Yisroel is Mo'erer, what may be a steer in the Ramah itself. Because he points out like this, there's a sefer, a Yad Ramah, from the Ramah on Masechet Baba Basra, and in the Yad Ramah on Baba Basra, he discusses the following sugyim of a Kama Daf Ayin. Over there, the Gemara talks about a case of a shtar kiss, Hayoyitze Ala Yosoimim, which is a fancy sprach. The Rashbam over there explains that we're talking about a case a fellow has a shtar that he gave over a schum of money to the father of these Yosoimim, the father who just died and left the Yosoimim his estate, and this fellow has a shtar that he handed over an iska over to the father, $10,000 of iska, and the standard iska is Pal Gamil. Of a palka bikotin, like the Gemara always says, that the standard iska business venture, I give of a part to you as a halvor, a loan, part of it as a bikotin, and you have this shtar. And the halacha is the way the Gemara comes out of it there, that the person who brings the shtar against the estate, which was inherited by the orphans, he can collect the entire amount that's written down in the shtar. The Rishonim over there asked the Kasha, that why don't we tanin onto the assignment to say nensu? That says that since the iska is partly a bikotin, so that on that part you would be part, you could say it was nena, so the oinus, the money got lost by oinus. And but you don't know, you have no idea. These people are Yisraim, they're orphans, they have no idea. But we said before, with Tanina, for Lekeach, for Yisraim, and Bezin will enter a claim for them if they have no way that they could possibly know. So therefore, let Bezin enter the claim for them that the money was Nenas, and you'll be off from the Pekodin monies, and you won't have to pay it. So that's the Kasha that Yishanim asks. And the Yad Ramah over there, which is by the Ramah, the Yad Ramah answers like this. He says that the father just died. He had a regular matzav of a deathbed, and he was speaking to his heirs, his family on the deathbed, and the normal thing, Zakhtar Ramah, is that a person on the deathbed, if he really had an iska with a star iska against him, he would certainly have mentioned on the deathbed that this thing happened, that there was an oynes, and therefore money got lost by oynes. If it would be true, he would surely have mentioned on the deathbed. The fact that he did not mention on the deathbed, that itself is a raya kenegdoi, Zakhtar Ramah, Yad Ramah, that's a raya that in fact no such oynes took place, and that's why we're not tanin on the assignment. And the Ramah over there speaks out that that's doimah to Isi ben Yehuda. In other words, he actually stole through the Gemara a little bit later on the Amud over here, which is also the Gemara says here, as it didn't Isi ben Yehuda. The Gemara discusses the case later on the Amud by Yosef, a fellow who was an agent to buy a lot of wine, 400 barrels of wine, and he bought the wine and it went bad and it got spoiled, so the din is bad, so he would have to make a shua that the wine was originally good quality wine at the time when he bought it. However, since the Gemara says, since it's a very public thing when so much wine is good and it goes bad and it spoils, and therefore they would have a coil, and consequently you're going to have to prove that there was such a coil, that the rumors were flying thick and fast and all the people were talking about it, it was at the talk of the town, because since that the derech has to have such a coil, you're going to have to dafke bring raya that there was such a coil, and the Gemara says that follows Isi ben Yehuda's din, that in mocking with this raya, you have to dafke bring the raya, which in this case you have to bring the coil. So the Yad Ramah stells through El Gemara, which is an Isi ben Yehuda, and he brought the parallel to the case over there, where it says over there that the way the Yad Ramah understands the sugya, since a derech is that on the deathbed you would have mentioned it and you failed to mention it, so therefore that itself is a raya against you, a raya against the notion that this iska was lost by oynes. So this Sefer Yevoruch Yisroel points out that the whole lingo of the Ramah there, the whole setup, the way he has it set up, is that Isi ben Yehuda is a din in Hilchos Reyesa. In other words, your taina is really weakened, because if it would be true like it's saying, we would have expected X, we would expected to see this, we expected to see that. That's a concept not of a lomdusha idea that the din of shomrim was set up in a certain way that you have to daf come up with the best possible proof in order to exempt yourself, because that's the part of the chiyuv shomrim, the way the Torah set it up. That doesn't seem to be the way the Adramai is discussing it. Rather, he's learning, like the other Mahalach in the Chakira, the Adramai over there is learning that it's a question that since it's availability to bring a proof of X or Y and you're unable to, that's a raya against you. And he's on that, he's filling tzu, enjoying the parallel, since it's the derech klal that the fellow on the death would have mentioned that it was nenas, this iska. He didn't mention it, that's a raya against you. So then it's difficult to reconcile, that same as the Ramah, is difficult to reconcile with the other Ramah that the Torah quotes, that the halacha of Isa ben Yehuda is dafka, din hilchos shomrim, and does not apply outside of hilchos shomrim. A shmer kite, because over there, that Torah is mashma, it's a local din hilchos shomrim, and it's mashma over there, that in some way the parsha shomrim itself is set up in such manner, like we said before, from various achroinim, various gedolim, it's set up in such a way that without the best possible raya, you can't possibly get off the hook, and it's a local din, the way the Torah set up the din of parsha shomrim. And there is a steer in the Ramah, the Baruch Yisrael attempts to say a teretz. The teretz is very unclear. Offhand, it really does look like there's two different drochim in the two different Ramahs. Now, there is a ktsois that actually also gets into this question of how to understand Isi, and the ktsois also speaks about somewhat about what the Havana in Isi is. The Sais knows that there's a question of the Poiskim, which really originates, he says, with the Rishainim, a Shaila, where we have a case in which it was Yesh Roya, the safety was a public place, where I'm claiming that the Umglik, that the happenstance happened, and I would expect to find Edom, if it really happened. So Halach of Isi is you have to Dafka bring Edom. What's the din if you have a Migu, but you don't have Edom? One example, an interesting example of a case, a person might have a Migu, the Sais brings down a Tshuvas Maharit. That Tshuvas Maharit had a case of a person who said that I'm telling you that it was nenas, an oines happened in a place where there was public, a public place, and I can't find any witnesses, I don't have any witnesses, but I have a migu that I could have said it was nenas in a private place. So the Bemis says I was holding on to the private place. I'm admitting that the oines happened to the public place and I should be finding edim and I can't, but I want to be there with a migu, since if I were law, I wanted a law, I could have said that it was nenas in the private spot, and then we off the hook with a shua. So believe me, that migu, believe that the oines happened to the public place, even like I can't find Edom. The Marit Greta says that Amigu does work, and Amigu is effective because Amigu is always a good raya, and it's a raya over here as well. And the Ksais brings down the Be'emes you find, the Machloket Rishonim in this Shiloh, he brings in a Balamoyer and Baba Basra, that the Balamoyer happens actually discusses the question of whether a person can get away with Amigu in a case where he has an EC situation, he would be expected to find Edom. And the Balamoyer Greta says over there that he goes that the concept of EC, well, the Balamoyer, he doesn't mention EC Beferish, but the Balamoyer says that the idea is that since it's a public place and you will be expected to be able to find the Edom and you didn't, that itself is a raya against you. That's a raya against you. If your claim will be true, where are the Edom? You should be expected to find Edom. The Edom are available if it will be true. So therefore, the fact that you're unable to find Edom is itself a raya against you, and therefore the Migu is not believed because of the equivalent of a Migu Mamakam Edom. It's a Migu Mamakam, a very strong raya against you, the raya being the fact that it's a public area, and if your claim will be true, you surely should be able to find witnesses to support it, and you can't. Therefore, your migu is weakened and you're not accepted with a migu. Ksais notes that the Ramban al-Muhammad over there actually rejects this argument and holds that a migu will be accepted even in the case of Isi. But Kapanim, you do see from the Ksais that he's in Miyachas to some Rishayim, Miyachas to the Balamir, the concept that Isi is based on the idea that what? That the fact that there should have been Edom, and there's a place where Edom are available, and if you claim it'll be true, you'll be able to bring witnesses, and you can't, that itself weakens your taina and knocks it off. And according to that, like we said before, there are chorin taina, it would not specifically be in shomrim, even though the Torah says about shomrim, it's a more general halacha, like the Rishonim bring it down, a general case in all cases in which you'll be expected to find a certain proof, a certain support for your claim, and unable to find it, that itself knocks off your ability to be named with a shua. Later on the Yomud, the Gemara brings in the story of Rabba Bar Bar Chonon, that Rabba Bar Bar Chonon hired these porters to carry a barrel of wine, and they broke the wine, Rashi says they broke it with Pshia, so they really have to pay these porters. So they didn't have what to pay, apparently, and he took from them their garments, their cloaks. Shankol Liglimayu. So they went and they complained in front of Rav, and Rav said to Rabba Bar Bar Chonon, give them back their cloaks. Hav Liglimayu, give it back to them. So he said, Dino, is that the din? Why can't I take the cloaks? They owe me the money.
money. Amalei in leman teilech b'derech toivim. It's a pasuk in Mishle that the pasuk says that you should go in the way of the gutta, of the good people. Rashi says lefnim mishuras hadin. In other words, these people were indigent people, poor people. They didn't have what to support themselves, and you took away their clothes from them. So lefnim mishuras hadin, Rashi says, you give it back. So he gave it back. He gave it back the cloaks. They said, we're ani anan. We worked the whole day long, and we were hungry. We don't have anything for the whole day. And it was nice, so we smashed the barrel, and now we don't have any money, any wages for the day, so we can't support ourselves. So Rav said to Rabbi Rav Chanan, zil havle agrayum, pay them their wages as well. So again, Rabbi Rav Chanan said, dinochi, what kind of business? That's the din. I mean, I got my barrel busted from them. So Amalei, Rav says back, in, yes, like the end of the pasuk in Mishle, for orchoi sadikim tishmo, you should follow the ways of the sadikim, and it's, in other words, another concept apparently of lefnei mishuras hadin. Now we have on this actually a big machloikis. A machloikis of Paiskim is today is brought down in the Ramah in Choshen Mishpot, Semen Yud Beis. And over there is Shaila, do we ever have, in other words, that Bezin will be koife on lefnei mishuras hadin? Do Bezin ever force someone to go, which pashtus, I mean, why would they be, if they do such a thing? Lefnei mishuras hadin by definition means it's beyond the letter of the law, which are not machoyev. So why should Bezin be koife? Nonetheless, the Ramah over there brings down 2 days in Choshen Mishpot, Yud Beis and Sif Beis. For the first day holds Ein Bezin Yichayon Lokuf Likonis Lefnei Mishuras Hadin, that Bezin, even Al Bishanir Lehem Shomun Aroi, even in cases where it's appropriate and proper and ethics would ought to require the Shigol Lefnei Mishuras Hadin, nonetheless Bezin can never require it. And that day the Rabban begins to shame the Rosh. And the second sheet of Yesh Cholkim, and that's a Mordechai and Mab Metzia in the second pairing. So those are the 2 days. Now the going over there points out, and this is actually, if you look at the Mordechai, you see this, that in reality the source of the Mordechai is Guf from Al Gemara. The Mordechai brings then Al Gemara, and he says that you see in Al Gemara that Bezin, and sometimes it'll be koife, they'll actually force somebody to go lefnei mishuras hadin. The Mordechai says that's heicha in a place where it's appropriate to do that, and granted the bracketed comment, which apparently is from the Ramah, in the back of the Gemara, the bracketed comment of the Mordechai is generally the Ramah, and he says koloi mashehu ashir. In other words, that the person they're having litigation with is a wealthy person, he could afford it, the poor guy can't afford it, he can be without wages, without funds, so therefore, Bezin will be koife to go lefnei mishuras hadin. Pashtus, the various mechabrim nemon, that the pshat in the Mordechai is, that in our Gemara really is mashed, but he forced it. The simple reading of the Gemara certainly is very clear like that. And Rav said to him, give them the glima. So he said to him, dinohachi. And he mamash asked him the pemoli explicitly, is that the din? Dinohachi. So he said to him, in, yes. And Rashi said, lefnei mishuras hadin. So bemis the whole Gemara in a way is a chidas tumah, it's a riddle. If the question was, is that the din? Then how did he answer lefnei mishuras hadin? Lefnei mishuras hadin, like Rashi says. The same way as the next line, he says, okay, now pay them their wages. He said to him again, dinohachi. So this, the pastor they name on the that's about the Mordechai meant to say was that in this Gemara it seems that lefnei mishuras hadin in certain cases could actually be considered by Bezin to be the equivalent of a din ohachi, and Bezin will impose it and they'll force you in a case where Bezin sees fit that that's ethically appropriate, it's required, and that's what the Mordechai brought a riot from this Gemara. Now they do have the Shittas HaRosh, the Rosh is very clearly in the second paragraph, but Metzia is quoted as the first day in the Amal that we never force Bezin will, even in a case where it's near Lehem Roy, it seems appropriate, Bezin will never force somebody ever to go lefnei mishuras hadin. Now, Rav Moshe Feinstein, Igus Moshe, says Meir de Gazach, which is a very interesting word that he says in this Gemara. Rav Moshe Tainu, that even though Rashi says black and white, and that's how some others learned as well, that this Gemara is a din about lefnei mishuras hadin. The fact is, Rav Moshe says, you can bring a clear raya from a Tosfos earlier in the second parak, that Tosfos has not learned that that's the subject of this sugya. And this sugya is not, in fact, about whether that we have to go lefnei mishuras hadin, we expect to go lefnei mishuras hadin. It's not about lefnei mishuras hadin at all. Where do you see that? So he says, if you look in Taisus earlier on, in the Chof Dalet and Beis, the Taisus over there discusses the din of the halacha of lefnei mishuras hadin. And the Gemara over there, in the second parak of the Masechta Bava Metzia, learns out from the Lashna Pasuk as Ma'aser Sheyasun, the Gemara says, Ma'aser Zedin, Asher Yasun Lezul Lefnei Mishuras Hadin. The Gemara learns out from the Pasuk over there the concept that it's appropriate to go above and beyond the letter of the law and to go lefnei mishuras hadin. So Taisus over there is Mefapal on this Drasha, and one question Taisus asks over there is that how come an Al Gemara doesn't it also mention this drasha as well? In other words, why Al Gemara brings a pasuk in Mishle, the Mantelch B'derech Tovim, etc., let it instead bring down a pasuk from Chumash, which the Gemara quotes on the Chof Talad early in the second parak, on the same subject, Lefnei Mishuras Hadin. The Tais over there answers that Mitzad Lefnei Mishuras Hadin would not require somebody to actually take an out-of-pocket expense, to actually lose money that's coming to you, that's your money, and you have to lose money over over it, that would not be required of the Mishuras HaDin. And that's why the Gemara over here, which is talking about an out-of-pocket loss, the Rav Chanan is taking a loss on his barrel, and he could have collected it, and then he's paying them the wages, and then it's called taking a monetary loss, which the Din of Mishuras HaDin would never mandate that. And maybe we need to bring an entirely separate pasuk for that. That's what Taisa says. So Rav Moshe says that L'chayr, if you read the Taisa carefully, you see Ba'alil, the Taisa argues on Rashi Pshat and the Sugya altogether, and Taisa held that this Sugya, by us on Daf Pei Gimel, is not about Lifnim Mishuras HaDin. Because L'chayr, if the Sugya would be about Lifnim Mishuras HaDin, then what did Taisa gain? I mean, Taisa's whole point is that we didn't bring down a pasuk of Hashem Yasun, because that's about Lifnim Mishuras HaDin, and Mishuras HaDin doesn't mandate that a person should take a loss. Vayis L'chayr, you say, our Sugya, you are taking a loss. Taisa understood that was not talking about a case of Mishuras HaDin. Taisa learned differently from Rashi and from other Rishonim. How did Taisa learn the Gemara? It's a very shver zach. L'chayr, the Gemara is told in the Mishuras HaDin. Zokter of Moshe, that he believed that Taisa had a different pshat in the Sugya as follows. Zokter Be'etzem, the truth of the matter is that if somebody owes you money and you want to take a mashkin from him, you're over on Lysia Loi Kenoisha. The Moshe brings some Sugyas about this thing that you're not allowed to take a mashkin yourself. The Gemara in Bamatzia Kofi and Gimel goes into the circumstances on which you're allowed to take a mashkin. But like this, he grabbed from them their Glimayhu, Zokter Moshe. So Be'etzem be a Soidoi, by taking it himself, he'd be over on the din of Lysia Loi Kenoisha. The truth is, Zokter Moshe, Bechlal, you have to mind what the heter was. And you have to say, that's what Moshe wants to say, that the case was that the Glimas already were entrusted with him, he already was holding on to them, and he just continued to hold on to them so that he didn't grab it for himself. Hakoponim, there was a loophole in the law. In other words, Be'etzim, you're talking about a situation in which be a side or there'd be a problem of Lysia Loi Kenoisha, but he had a loophole in the law. So on that, the Pasuk of Laman Telech B'derech Toivim, to go in the way of the Gutter, Zokta, what that means is that the Gutter, the Toivim people, these are people who are Machmir on the din of Lysia Loi Kenoisha, to treat it as if these coats are being held by you and it'll be usher for me to grab it away from you. So that's the first chelak of the Gemara. It's not a kloliastic adin, in the words of going lefnim mishuras adin, but it's specific to the case at hand where I'm being noisha, so to speak, I'm oppressing you and a choyv that you have to grab, and even though there's a loophole in the law in this case, hafa pi kain, the toivim will not rely on that. So at Rav Moshe, but hafa pi kain, when Rabbi Rochanan heard that, he thought that even though granted he's not going to be tevei them right now, but hafa pi kain, he'll wait until Ulai, hopefully people are going to gain some money, they'll get a little bit richer, and when they get rich, they get some money for themselves, he'll be tevei then. There's no reason to be moichel the choyv that they owe him. They owe him big money that he smashed his barrel. So even though right now he's not going to be tevei the money from them, hafa pi kain, he'll wait, he'll bide his time until they get rich, they get wealthy, and then he'll collect the money from them. Of them, Rav said back to him like this, that be'emes ha'yoyse, it's not shchiach, and it's not likely people are going to get rich, so it's not right to have the choyv over their heads, hanging over their heads like that. So you should dafka be moichel the choyv. The Zokter of Moshe, the nafkamina being moichel the choyv is at the moment that you're moichel the choyv that they owe you, you're going to have to pay them their wages for the day. Because Batsim, they taka worked hard for you until a barrel got smashed, and Batsim, you owe them the wages, you owe them the salary. Novas then calls man that they owe you a lot of money for smashing your whole barrel, so obviously you're not going to pay them the wages. But since I, Rav, I'm telling you that you should dafka be moichel the choyv, so the moment that you should be moichel that choyv, so mele therefore, you should have to dafka pay them the wages, and that's what he said to him, the Yishahav Lemigrayu, because in other words, he said, the word is, he was telling him the Yishu Moichel the Choyv that's owed to you. And once you Moichel that Choyv, the Mela comes at the Mikra, then you will have to pay them the wages, and that's what you should pay, and that's Orcha Sadikim Tishma. Hakaponim, it's interesting to see this thing, that Rav Moshe learns the Sugya in such a way to explain the Tosfos that you don't have over here a kloliastic, a general idea of the Lifnim Mishuras HaDin, but rather a very specific scenario, not oppressing somebody who owes you money, not being a Noisha, and being Machmir. And of not being a noisha, in such a oifen that from this sugi you're not going to be able to extrapolate to a general concept of being koifa somebody to go lefnim mishuras hadin in a general case. On the base is a long agadah to Gemara, and the Gemara brings down the maisa of Rav Lozer of Shimon, who was drafted by the government to become the sheriff and to catch the bandits, to catch the ganovim. So they drafted him, they pressed him into service, and Rav Lozer of Shimon, Rav Shimon Yechoi's son, Rav Lozer of Shimon was catching the ganovim. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha sent him a message, Chumetz ben Yayin. He said to Rav Shimon, vinegar, the son of wine. That says, you are the son of Shimon Echoi, you are Chumetz ben Yayin. Ad Mosai Ata Moiser, Amoy Shel Elokeinu Lahariga. That was, the king was putting them to death. And how long are you going to be giving over the Amish Elokeinu to the purpose that he was catching Gidden, Yiddish crooks? How long are you giving them over to the purpose of being put to death? So he sent back, Rav Shimon sent back to him, Koitzamani Mechalam Al Kerem. What's the problem? These are thorns that I'm getting rid of from the vineyard. These are crooked people. Shalach Le, Yova Bal HaKerem V'yachal Es Koitzov. So he sent back to him to let the Bal HaKerem come, let the Eibishter, who owns the vineyard, owns the Yidden, let him come to Bechal the Koitzov himself. So the Gemara brings down this back and forth, this Shakalataria, as to whether it was acceptable for Rosh Shimon to be involved in this kind of a sheriff activity to catch the crooks. Now here we have a big Machoikas Rishayim and this Afanorot over here, and understanding this Indian between the Ritva of Afanorot over here and the Meiri. The Ritva writes like this. The Ritva says that the Meiser, it's clear, Rosh Shimon was catching these people, there was no Edim, there was no Hasra, there was Beloy Edim Vahasra, there was no Sanhedrin, it wasn't at a time when there was a Sanhedrin Zok there, and all these things were lacking and was missing, and Afal Pikeni was giving them over, and apparently Malchus was not much putting them to death. So he says, what was the Het of Bechlal for Rosh Hashem to do that? So he says, Zok to Ritva, a very big Yisoid, and the Ritva says that he was a Shlich of the Malchus, he was a Shlich of the Melech. Remember that the Melech was a Goyish king, we'll discuss this point, and he was a Shlich of the Goyish king, Medini HaMalchus, Larek Beloy Edim Vahasra, Li Yasser Ha'olam. And he says, actually, the Ritva says that, in other words, not just Goyish kings, there's actually an acceptable thing for a melech to do. That's a gender of a melech. That's what a king does, is that he kills with the Edom HaSro to give warning to the society, Li Yasser Ha'olam, to keep them on their toes, that they should have the fear of the law. And we find that by David HaMelech, Kishroyim by David, B'Shahor HaGera Maleki, right? So it's a story in the beginning of Shmuel Beis that the Gera Maleki came and he said that he had killed Shaul, and the Ma'i said there was no Edom, all there was just like to us Piv, and right, David sent him. That's the pasuk over there, and he killed the Gera Maleki. So you see an example of this, and with Ritva saying, and this is actually a story, there's other Mar Mekhemis, I'll talk a little bit about it. In other words, that there's some kind of extra legal death penalty or extra legal punishments which are actually part of the mandate of a king. As Sanhedrin, the judiciary operates according to the strictures of the legal system. They go with the formalities of the law structure. Manashenkin, a king, does extra legal activities for the point purpose of, like the Ritva says, Yaseh Ha'olam, and since the Shim was a shliach of the king, grad of the Goyish king, like we'll see, was a shliach of the king, shluchoi shel melech kamoyzer, that's Loshen Ritva, and consequently it was perfectly acceptable for Loshen Shimon to arrest these people and even give them over to be punished and put to death, even though they had no Edom or Hasra. Aber zokt of them, the Ritva, you have to have that the king does have within the legal system that he's working with, it's extra legal, it's not the rigid law system, but Kapana, he's doing it legally according to the understandings of that nation's laws. If the king doesn't have any legal rights to do such a thing, then Munah Shaloy is not Rashoy. If the king would say to you to do this, says the Ritva, in a case where it's not legal according to the laws of the government, then Yohorek Vayav. Then Faket, you have to be able to put to death rather than giving over somebody else to put to death. So Ritva is Mavur, somewhat Bekisser. He says that the understanding of what Hashem was doing was that it was perfectly acceptable to halacha, even though there was no Edom v'Hasra, because he was doing with the Gidri Malchus, since the Melech had appointed him to do this thing. The Ritva apparently is not bothered by the fact that Yeshua ben Karcha was so moicha against it, and we'll talk a little about this. He held the Ritva apparently, like those who say, like we'll see, that Yeshua ben Karcha was not going alpi midas halacha, alpi halacha mamish. You're just telling you shouldn't be doing it anyway. But the Ritva understands the sugya to be based on this concept of the Gidri Melech, what the Melech had the klayach to do. On the other hand, the Meiri over here has a very different understanding of the sugya, and the Meiri writes that what you see from our Gemara, the bottom line, and the Meiri seems to take this out of Yeshua ben Karcha, who he assumes was going lahalacha, and he paskins like Yeshua ben Karcha said to him that Yochemetz ben Yayin and your Yovei Bal HaKerem v'yachalat koitzov, let the Rebbein Shem come v'chalat koitzov himself. So Ritva says that he's the Meiri says a curious lashon. He starts by saying tamidacham v'chasidim v'anshei Hashem, they should misrachek themselves from getting involved with the government and becoming an official involved in the manner of a sheriff, and the kolsh came to get a mina lispois ganov and ballistim and shah rishi hadoili moser lahariga. So he starts by saying the milchum should stay away, but then the Meiri says you certainly should not be involved in giving over rishoyim to be put to death. Shekol ha'oise came hareze goyreim lehoreg habin afoshois midin malchus shaloi midin toira. In other words, that you're doing something which is against the dinah toira because you're going, the king is not going in accordance with toira. Torah law. He's going with according to whatever law he's working with. It's not in accordance with Torah law, and you are going to be causing that these individuals are being put to death, not in accordance with the Hilchos HaTorah. Zok, the Meiri concludes with a strong expression. You're causing, even in Russia, you're causing him to be put to death, not in accordance with Torah law. You're like a Moiser, Zok, he quotes our Gemara to one of the Gedolim who was involved in this. And how long you give over the Jewish people to put to death? And even though he defended himself, they responded back to him. You see that the Meiri learned the same sugya as the Ritva, and he came up with the opposite conclusion that it's a terrible thing to do. And he apparently understands that although Rav Shimon had a particular shita which permitted it, nonetheless, that's not the Maskana of the Gemara as the Meiri understands it. Maskana of the Gemara is like a Shum Korcha, and there's no Shum Heta for this thing. It's very interesting and fundamental machlokes, and which is based on somewhat negay, like we'll see a little bit about the discussion that Achorim discusses Gemara and the Rishonim. In other words, that there seems to be a fundamental question about giving over an individual, a Jewish crook, for the purpose of being judged according to the laws of the Goyish governments, even if there's no parallel for that in the Hilchas HaTorah. And the Ritva seems to be saying that it's fine, and the Meiri would be saying that it's actually against the halacha and it's not fine. So how do we pass on this point? So the Ma'aseh of the Beis Yosef in Siman Shin Pei Ches brings down at length, he brings down Ba'arichos a tshuva in the Tshuva Sarashba. It's the Ma'aseh you see Ba'aliyo from the Tshuva Sarashba, that the Tshuva Sarashba was perfectly fine. He accepted the derech of the Ritva in the Sugya and accepted that it would actually be okay. And the Rashba goes through the Sugya a little bit and discusses how you're supposed to understand the Gemara. The Rashba says that Avada, this Rishum and Korcha, said to Rav Zera Shimon that your Chometz Ben Yayin, etc. It says impossible to think. The Rashba says that he's telling him that you mamish for your kamat like ilur etzeach chas v'sholom, and you're causing people to be put to death. Shaloi kedin. He says for that. He says first of all, we're never going to say Rav Zera Shimon was nichshon such a thing, and second of all, that the Rashba, that's not what the conversation looked like. It was just a question of yovav al akerem v'yachal es koytzov. Leave it to the Ebrish to take care of it himself. The whole shiners are not at all mashma that Rav Zera Shimon was being told that this is something which is a terrible thing of being the Savav Misois and Mamish death penalties to Yidden Shaloi Kedin. That's not all the Mashmois. Rather, as the Rashba explains, the entire taina of Yeshua Ben Korcha on Yeshua Ben Lotham Hashem was that he was loyhoi noyheg b'chassidus ka'avoysov. In other words, that he's not a chassid. He's not, a chassid stays away from this kind of a thing of causing Yiddish lives to be put to death by the Goyish government. A chassid would stay away. And the Rashba says that if Rav Shimon was making an outright mistake and mamash causing death to Shaloi Kedin, if he would be a toy gemurah v'oisin Shaloi Kedin, you would say some affairs. You would call him a toy gemurim v'cholila v'chas l'gedoyli yisroel v'chaside elyon kamoisam. That's to say about Rav Shimon, the chaside elyon, etc., to say that he caused people's death mamash to come about Shaloi Kedin. Likewise, that the Rashba is even a stronger eye in the next gemurah, which, by the way, is rather it wraps onto the top of the next omud, the seer coming up mitzvah Hashem. But upon over there, you have the story of Rav Shmuel Rav Yosi was also drafted to be a sheriff, and it says that Elio Anovi said to him that what are you doing? You shouldn't do this thing. So he said, the Rav Yosi said, "My Evid Hurman of the Malkohu." This is the instruction of the king. What could I possibly do? I can't do anything better. Hurman of the Malkohu. So he said, "Man, Tim, you should run away, etc." Like you see coming up the Gemara. And Zokter asked, "But what kind of a conversation is that?" Zokter, if you're causing death, you remember Yidden to be put to death, Shaloi Kedin. How could you possibly say, "My Evid Hurman of the Malkohu"? The whole defense he was saying doesn't make any sense. It should be the Horeg Val Yavir. You should allow yourself to be killed rather than causing Yidden to be put to death as a result of your activities. So mainly, as Bon said, it's impossible to learn the sugya this way, and you must learn the sugya, which is along the lines of the Meiri, that really Mishuras Hadin, it's 100% clear that it is okay to pay people to put to death according to the laws of the government, and it's a shaila of whether this is a midas chasidus. I want to say over just over here a tshuva in the Tshuvas Maharam Shik, where you have a shaila that came before him, and you see how he applied the Rishayim lahalacha according to his understanding and the way that it came before him. The Tshuvas Maharam Shik in Choshe Mishpat Nun Beis was asked a shaila about a story in which in someone's family they have a situation of a person who suddenly died, and there was clear circumstantial evidence that his wife had poisoned to death, that she put poison in front of him, or she poisoned his food and he took the poison, and there was clear circumstantial evidence that there was another man that she was going and she was seeing, and therefore it was in her interest to put her husband to death and to poison the husband because she wanted to have an affair and get married married to the other, the newer guy that she was involved with. There was a ken ktas hoidor that she had said. It wasn't bepe moli mamish, but it was pretty clear that from her words that there was a tacit admission that she admitted it, and there was circumstantial evidence, and there was a lot of that sort. And the shaila was asked of the Maharam Shik whether the Yiddish mishpacha should get involved in giving over this woman to be arrested by the Goyish government, which apparently, according to the laws of the Goyish government, it seemed pretty clear that there was a case against her according to the Goyish legal system, according to the laws, and that they would have put her, whatever kind of meted out, whatever punishment. This was the Shiloh that was asked of the Maram Shik. The Maram Shik is mafapal in the Shiloh. He brings down our Ritva over here, and he says that L'choira, which he names on the Ritva, may well be L'halacha, and he says, you see from the Ritva, L'choira, that there is a concept, we don't have any Sanhedrin today, and there's a concept of operating according to the laws of the Goyish government, and in Mela, since according to the laws of the Goyish government, they have the kind of they would accept this as the kind of raya that it takes. Mela, let them operate according to their legal system, and therefore, perhaps you could argue that you can give her up. However, the Rambam Shik says that Lamaisa has 2 points. First of all, Zokter, we find that that's not the Mitzvah Chasidus, you know, because it's the Gemara itself says, Rav Shimon Korcha said, that Yovel Bala Karen V'Yachala Es Koitzov. So even though we have, on the one hand, there's the Heter to do it, but on the other hand, it seems that there's a lack of Mitzvah Chasidus, and that's one point that Rambam Shik makes. The second point is, Zokter, he matters the Chasach in the same the Rambam, because granted the Ritva says this way, but what are you going to do with the Rambam? Now the Rambam, in Hilchos Melochim, in Perek Gimel, says, like this. The Rambam just talks specifically and quite clearly about the notion of extra legal justice. In other words, sometimes it's necessary to have, you have the Sanhedrin, you have the Bat-Bat-Din system that operates according to the legal system, and sometimes for the societal need to operate with an extra legal justice, and the Rambam says that that's the purview of the Melech, of the king. The issue is that the Maram Shik has, that the Rambam rechens it specifically in the halachas of a Melech Yisroel. And the Rambam never mentions the concept that I would also have that the Yid would actively work within the Goyish legal system and give the person over to the Melech HaGoy to operate in some extra legal, extrajudicial manner, way that's outside the Mishpat HaTayr. Rambam says in Hilchos Melochim Perek Gimel that if a person is Hayig Nefoshos without a Raya Brurah, if you have someone as a murderer, you can tell he's a murderer, but there's no Raya Brurah, absolutely clear Raya, or there's no Hasra, you don't have a warning. So Geventlich, according to the Jewish legal system, you can't put the guy to death, there's no warning. Or in Eid Echad, etc., different cases. So the Rambam says on that the Yesh Lamelech Rishus LaHorogoy Ulasakein HaOilam Kefi Masha Hashoah Tzricha. Right, the Rambam says this thing. This is the concept that extra legal proceedings is in the purview of the king. Again, you have to recognize this. There's the judiciary, the Sanhedrin, the Bate Din. They're in charge of legal proceedings within the legal structure, and the extra legal proceedings is in the purview of the king. And he has to know when the societal need is such to be to put somebody to death outside of the normal Mishpatei HaTorah, according to the way the Shoah Tzricha. And the Rambam gives a bit of an arichus on that over there in Hilchos Perek Gimel. On that, the Maram Shik Matazach, he says on the one hand, the Rambam is actually Mashna the Pashtus, that he held that that's specific, that a Melech Yisrael could do that. Could a Melech Goy do that? There's no mention in the Rambam of that, and if he listed under the Hilchos Melech Yisrael, perhaps I should medayik from there that he argues under the Ritva, and the Rambam held that a Jew is not allowed to be actively involved in assisting a Goyish king to do that. Who says according under the Jewish halachic system, we should give that authority to a Goyish king? Only a Yiddish king has that. If that's the case, the Rambam is against the Ritva. On the other hand, the Rambam Shik says it is possible, actually, that maybe the Pshat of the Rambam is that it's actually a chiddush that a Melech Yisrael could do it. As I say, it's not only a Melech Goy, but even a Melech Yisrael. So I say, because the Melech Yisrael, Betzim, is a Yid, and he's Meshubah to the Mishpatei HaTorah. Afalpi Kain was saying that sometimes Hashoah is Tzricha, society requires it, and consequently, even the Melech Yisrael will be a lot of work with it, and maybe certainly the Melech Goy, who doesn't operate Bechlau within the Mishpatei HaTorah, so we would recognize the Melech Goy's ability to operate within Goyish laws, and we would work with him on that. So the Rambam Shik comes out that he's not clear exactly what's the pshat in the Rambam. You have the Ritva, but the Ritva, even within the Ritva, we see that it's not a mitzvah sidus, like we said before, and the Tshuva Tarajbah speaks it out, the Brotan Abbas Yosef. So ultimately, the Rambam Shik comes out the way he, in his maskana, in the case at hand, he says it's true that if someone gets involved in delivering this individual over to the police and to the Goyish government would not be moicha in them, because they have many poiskim to be samich on, the poiskim who follow the Beis Yosef, the Shavuot HaRashba, etc. They would have what to rely on them. Ober mekol malkim al kuponim zokter ein l'gdoyli Yisroel l'shtadil bazeh, the gdoyli Yisroel should not get lehedi involved in it, specifically involved el aliyos b'shev altaseh, that rather they should be b'shev altaseh, like you have in this Gemara, that it's not the middle seat of the gdoyli Yisroel. So that's how Ramshik comes out of here, that he comes out that on the one hand there is support to give this person over to the Goyish government, but on the other hand we have this lack of middle seat. Now for Steinzuch, in terms of applying that to contemporary situations, it's actually a whole parasha shlema. It's not for now to get into. You have to, one thing I just want to mention is that the Ramshik doesn't mention at all in the entire tshuva the notion of this person being a threat for the future, which would obviously change things and would very likely obliterate the middle seat, because you know what's the middle seat? If the person is a threat, they're going to continue doing the same thing to be doing in the past and continue causing harm. So that's just one thing to be aware of, which could obviously differentiate between this situation and situations that come up sometimes in today's times when sometimes it is necessary to call the police about an individual. But I just want to say over the Marmot Kaimos and to show how the Marmot Shik operated with this Ritzvah going Lahalacha, and after BK in his case in hand, he made this kind of split idea where it would be acceptable to deliver the person over to the Goyesha police and the Goyesha Malchus, and you wouldn't be Moichal Kapon because they have what to rely on, but after BK, the Gedil Yisroel were not going to involve. It happens to be that the Ursa Meach on that Rambam over there about that the Yeshla Melech was just Lahurgoy, there's some Meach, one of the Ramakamis he brings on that Rambam is actually our Gemara. That is Mavur and our Gemara that the Rabbi Lazar Shimon was working for the Melech and he was giving over these individuals to be arrested by the Melech in a way that's outside of the Mishpatei HaTorah. So even though the Rambam is talking about Malchi Yisroel, the Ursa Meach makes the point of bringing a Maramakam for the Rambam in a case that's Negeah to Malchi HaUmoy. So Radon Pavarsky makes that point over here, is that it's actually a very big chiddush that the Ursa Meach should have brought that source, since it's not the exact same case as the Rambam. But evidently the Rambam understood, the Ursa Meach understood in the Rambam, that we don't differentiate between assisting a Jewish king in extra-legal arrest and a Goyish king in extra-legal arrest, as long as it's within the laws of the government. Fasteitzuch, if a Shiloh comes up, you speak to your Rav. Obviously, these are not the only Mar Mekoymes. At the end of the Adaf, the Gemara brings down the Rosh of Shimon went through a kind of test to see how he was holding in Ruchnius, and there was an operation, a surgery that they went through, and they took out fat from him, and they took it out, and the fat did not rot. The Gemara goes through a whole description of this. So Rosh of Shimon said upon himself, Af besor yishkon lovetach, that he felt batuach, that he'll be zoiche, to completely be zoicha to schar lo asid lovoi, and in fact his guf wasn't going to rat. That's like he saw from this test that he did. The pasuk that he said upon himself, af besoru yishkan levetach, that means even his flesh is going to be yishkan levetach. The sefer Eini Yitzchok on Agaritov Gemara, so he says over here, he says that the Zohar says that be'etzem, where after a person dies, so there's a din shamayim for the bezin shamaylo, that they dan the person, and it says in the Zohar that after the guf decays and it finishes the decay, the guf becomes a more leichter, a lenient din. The more harshness of the din is called when the guf did not yet decay. We'll see maybe a little bit later what the inyan of that is, but that's what he says. So meila geveintloch zok the inyan yitzchok would actually be the best thing, and that's yidua, that the best thing is to have the guf decay in a quicker way. Over here we found that Shimon saying exactly the opposite, that he was happy apparently that the guf was not going to decay after his death, which l'chayr is a chiddush and is not the norm. Zok the inyan yitzchok that a tzaddik gomor doesn't need his guf to decay. A person is a tzad de gomor, his nefesh is kayom lenetzach, and it's misanig beganeden, and even the guf remains sholem bekivroy. And he tells Sue that the Chazal say that if a person says of a Torah from an individual is already nifter, some soif sodoyu is bekever, which he apparently understands on one level is understood kipshutoy. In some way, you know, it's a soif, so the person is not near kav, he's a tzadik, and he's in the kever, and the soif sodoyu is bekever. So may lezok there, that was what it was. Was promised that Rosh Hashanah saw that he was going to have this haftocha that even his guf was going to be shalem after his death. That's the madringa of the tzaddikim gedoyim and tzaddikim gemurim, that they don't ever recover and that the guf doesn't rot even after their death. The Bemis, I had a ha'or over here, I had a question that I was mattering zuch. I was wondering the following. At the end of Parashat Vayechi, we find that after Yankovin was niftar, so it says, Hayachan tu haroifim es Yisroel. So in other words, that Yosef caused that the Egyptian doctors embalmed Yaakov. Yaakov. In Egypt, they had this process of applying certain herbs and besomim to preserve the guf after death. And Yosef commanded Vayachan to Aroifim as Yisrael. Bemetz at the end of Vayichi, you find the same thing by Yosef. Vayachan to Yosef, Vayisim Borim Mitzrayim. The Yosef also, he has a end of a drega of Yankiv. And when he died, so they also, he was also embalmed after his death. So that preserved the guf from decay. The Malbim over there has a Meridika Arichos. It's very good to see it, Be'etzem. The Malbim explains by Arichos this concept that Yosef was Choynet Yankiv. The Malbim says, Choyer Geventlich is certainly Shalikadin. And he says that the opposite is true. We usually want the guf to decay in the quickest possible way. So I'll say over the Kitz and Nimrods, what he says over there, that the Malbim says that Geventlich, when a person is Niftar from this world and he passes away, so the Neshama departs from this world and departs from the guf and goes to Shemayim. But there's a lower Chayla called the Ruach. That Ruach, Zok the Malbim, if a person lives a Megushim Dega life, then the Ruach, which is also a Chayla Karuchni of the Mensch, it gets entrapped and entangled within the guf, and in Mela, it's stuck within the guf, because the person lived a Chumriyastik, a Gufniyastik, a Megushim Dega life, a physical kind of corporeal lifestyle, and in Mela, with his physical, his Gufniyast way that he lived his life, he even trapped Chayla Karuchni of himself within the guf, and doesn't extricate itself. It's hard for it to leave when the person has passed away, is nifter, and that's a terrible matzav, Dr. Malbim, and that's what causes the tumas mess after the person is nifter. So Zokter, it's necessary for the guf to decay, and once it's fully decayed, so then the chelke haruach are able to completely separate themselves and completely disassociate themselves from the guf, and that's why it's necessary to have the process of recovering. So Dr. Malbim, a person who lives his life in a completely not gufniyastik, a completely ruchniyastik way, so such a mensch doesn't get any of the chelke haruchni entrapped within the guf, and for such a person there's no necessity to have a recovering for the guf in order for the ruchni to completely be able to free up and go completely to Shemayim, because it was never entrapped within the chelke haguf in the first place, and that's the madrega of Yankov Avinu, and that's why by Yankov Avinu, Zok the Malbim, of the Malbim's Lashon here. Lachain chonat oisoi, that's why Yosef caused Yankov to be embalmed. She yishoyer kayom, that the guf should stay intact. Kilavush toish is labsaboy hanefesh. In other words, that's a lavush toyer, a rain, a pure garment, that's what his guf was, that the nefesh was mislabish, and therefore the garment also should stay intact. That's why he was chonat and he had him embalmed. But the kasha I was wondering was, nanashuch, if you find over here in the Gemara, and there's certain mekayimus where you find this thing that the person is a tzadik godler, a tzadik gomer, and the nefesh, the guf doesn't decay altogether. That's what was the test. It was the Hashem put himself to over here. He tested it and he saw his guf wasn't decaying. So why by Yankov Avinu Bechla wasn't necessary to be chayneid? What's the necessity to be chayneid if anyhow, in any event, the guf won't decay like you find in the Gemara over here? That was the best. I was wondering a lot about this question. I got to looked into it. I looked around. I got to saw an interesting thing that the Arachayim HaKadosh right there in Vayechi, Mamash asked the Kasha. In other words, he quotes this Gemara, the Arachayim HaKadosh, and he asked the Kasha on Yankov Avinu. The Mamash asked the Kasha. The Arachayim HaKadosh asked that L'chor you find over here in the Gemara by also Shimon that the guf intrinsically doesn't decay if the person's a big tzaddik. Why by Yankov Avinu do you have to be choynet to preserve it with these besomim with these herbs? Is that the Arachayim HaKadosh says like this? First he says one mahalach that the pshat is the be'etzim was absolutely not necessary to be choynet Yankov and the guf wouldn't have decayed in any event. However, zok the Arachayim that the reason why Yosef caused a chanota to be done on Yankov is kedei shelo yitu boy that the Egyptians shouldn't make a mistake about Yankov. They're going to see, in other words, that Yankov's guf doesn't decay, and they'll either think that Yankov is really not dead altogether, he's not deceased, or they're going to think that he is deceased, but he's some kind of miraculous figure, that he doesn't decay, and they're going to make him into an aloya, they'll turn him into a getchka. So in order to avoid this thing, because he was worried they'll turn Yankov into a getchka, so therefore Yosef went through the motions of causing the chanota to be done on Yankov, even though it's totally unnecessary. That's the first mahalach of the Arachayim HaKadosh. The second mahalach of the Arachayim HaKadosh, he says, or you could say that, an interesting mahalach, that he says that it could be that the difference between koidah matan Torah and acha matan Torah. So the Arachayim HaKadosh, the b'shas matan Torah, Klal Yisrael became ufgehim, and they became lifted up, such that, as I'll say on that posko zuamosom, that says the Gemara says in a couple of places, that in the Nochosh caused zuam, or kind of ruchniyastikatumah, to enter into chavo, and from there you have that this ruchniyastikah, the defilement, this pollution, was in the guf of all the people till matan Torah. Hasina, the Gemara says, was Poskos or Amosim. So after that point, the Rechaim HaKadosh says it could be that only after that point it was Mesugal to have this thing that the Guf shouldn't decay because the Guf is in constant rain and not going to decay at all. So the Rechaim says before that point, even if a person is like Yankel Avinu and Be'etzem Yitzat Atzmoy, the Guf shouldn't decay. There's no theme for the Guf to decay. But Afal Pikein would decay anyway, Zokte, because you have this Koyach HaZuama, and he says, therefore, it's going to cause that there will be a decay for the Guf. And in Meila, that's why it's only after Matan Torah, and this Gemara is after Matan Torah, and that's you have the Koyach HaTorah, the Poskos HaMosam, it's possible to have this thing that the Guf would intrinsically not decay. Masha'in Kein, the Yank of Avinu, Far Matan Torah is necessary to be choined. The Ma'isa, the Malbim, we said before, we learned up at Beferish, he actually speaks out that Yosef was choined Yankov to preserve him from getting decayed because Yankov was Mesugal Lekach and it was appropriate, etc. So you see, he's not learning like the first Derech of the Erechaim, who holds that the Chanota was just, so to speak, to fake the people out, that he shouldn't turn them into an Eloiha, a Gechko, so to speak. However, the Malbim could learn the second Malach of the Erechaim, that that's Far Matan Torah, and Koyta Matan Torah, it wasn't Mesugal to have this thing that the Guf shouldn't decay at all, so a Mele was necessary to undergo a Chanota.
You have been listening to the Shiurim of Shas Illuminated. Shas Illuminated is a non-profit organization dedicated to broadening the learning of those studying the Daf worldwide. If you would like to make a donation or to dedicate a Daf or Masechta, please visit our website at shasilluminated.org or call 203-312-SHAS. You can also email us at shasilluminated@gmail.com.